Well, friends, let's begin by pausing for a moment and praying. Kind Father, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that your word would be so clear this morning. And Lord, I just pray that we would follow you where you're leading. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've had the privilege to travel to a number of different countries throughout my life. But honestly, most of the countries that I've been in, they speak a lot of English. And so we're kind of spoiled, you know. You can go to another country and you run into quite a few people who already speak English. And even in a lot of these places, they'll have English on the road signs and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, there's a language barrier. But most of the time, I feel like I can navigate around. I can get where I need to go. But back in 2023, we went to Cambodia to visit AIM, that ministry we saw in the video earlier in the service. And while we were there in Cambodia, in this huge city, I thought to myself, oh man, if I get lost, I'm in trouble. like I'm done for. I mean, might as well, you know, it's over. Because the language was so different, the culture was so different. We're in this massive city. It just kind of seemed like every road was the same. But thankfully, while we were there, we were never alone. We always had a guide with us. And specifically, this guy on the left-hand side right here, this was, for quite a bit of the trip, he was our bus driver. His name was Boonie. And I asked him, actually, what does that mean? What does your name mean? He says, it's Boonie. It's Rabbit. Boonie Rabbit. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. But I loved it. Wherever we went, Boonie could take us exactly where we needed to go. Why? Because he did speak the language. He did know the culture. He had been there before. He knew all the streets because he had grown up there. He could take us exactly where we needed to go. Oh, friends, what a difference an experienced guide can make on the journey. Well, friends, this morning, we're going to start out in Philippians chapter 4, but I got to warn you, I'm going to be kind of jumping all over the place this morning, and this might feel a little bit more like Sunday school this morning, a little bit more teaching rather than preaching, because this is a topic where there is so much to cover, and I'm going to try really hard not to talk too fast, but hold on and buckle up and pray for those of them in the sound booth. Here we go. If today you are new, or maybe you haven't been here in a while, we are right smack dab in the middle of a sermon series about decision-making that we are calling Charting the Course. And we've said that life is really just one long series of choices, one decision after another. But sometimes we come to a huge fork in the road of life, and we realize this is going to have life-altering consequences whichever way I go. You know, maybe we're trying to figure out, which college should I go to? Or should I marry that person? Or should I quit my job and move to this other city and start a whole new career? Should we buy this big thing? Should we take on all that debt? And so in this sermon series, we've said that there are 7 questions that we should ask whenever we are making a decision, but especially when we're kind of stuck in a big decision. Question 1 is, which option best honors God? Question 2 was, what does the Bible have to say about this? This morning, we're going to look at the 3rd question when facing decisions, which is, have I prayed about this? Have I prayed about this decision? Have I actually slowed down, taken the time to ask God directly, to bring this issue before my good Heavenly Father in prayer? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Did you catch that? In case not, let me make it very simple. On your notes page, worrying is not the same as praying. Maybe that seems obvious, but I think I better go ahead and state the obvious. Because I think it's funny how we can so easily get those 2 things mixed up. Sometimes we just assume, well, I've been thinking a lot about this. I've been talking a lot about this. I've been worrying about it, and I've been up late at night, and I've been pacing the floor, and I've been doing all this. But friends, being consumed with that issue is not actually the same thing as praying about it. Did I slow down and actually talk to God about this issue? Beloved, our good Heavenly Father, He loves to hear from His children. He loves it. And nothing is off limits. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. And so we can pray when we're at that crossroads and we're like, I don't know what to do. We can pray for guidance and direction. We can pray, Lord, open my eyes so I can see those opportunities you may have for me. We can be specific as we pray. And if we pray and we're still not so sure, guess what? It's okay. You can pray again tomorrow about the exact same thing. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. We can pray continually. Now, a couple chapters before this one, in the book of Philippians, it says this. Philippians chapter 1. And this is my prayer. Can you imagine having the Apostle Paul praying for you? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't he be like the best prayer partner ever? I love it. That would be so awesome. But I kind of wonder, well, okay, what would if the Apostle Paul was praying for me, what would he pray for? Well, let's see. What does he pray? He prays that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. There, that cuts to this whole decision-making element. And, he doesn't stop there, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Oh, that's so good. And it makes me think of another verse in James chapter 1. James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. That's prayer. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Friends, this is such good news. I think we should write it down. Number 2, in your notes, God is so ready to give us wisdom. If you're in a situation and you're just like, I need wisdom to know what to do, ask God. Get away from the distractions and the noise and the screens. You know, find that space of silence and solitude and ask God for some insight. Now, sometimes after we have prayed about it, sometimes it happens right away. Maybe we've been praying about something for a while, but all of a sudden it's just like there's this flash of insight. It's just like in your mind, it just clicks. And we don't even know where it came from, but the more we think of it, we're like, yeah, it's pretty obvious. Why didn't I know that? That's an answer to that prayer. Other times we can pray for wisdom and God can show up and give us that wisdom in the moment we need it. So for example, I do a lot of meetings. I'm a preacher guy. And so sometimes I go into meetings and to be totally honest, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what to say. And so I many times pray this prayer, Lord, help me to know what to say in this meeting, because I'm lost. I don't know how to handle it. And not every time. I wish it was every time. But sometimes, when we're in the middle of this meeting, all of a sudden these words come out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. And afterward, I'm like, God, where did that come from? That didn't come from me, because I didn't know what to say. I was lost. I was scared. That must have been you. And again, I think that was God answering that prayer for wisdom. And friends, sometimes it feels so ordinary, we just rush right past it. But actually, that is our kind Heavenly Father at work. Now, friends, we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, which means we want to do what He did. We want to follow Him wherever He's going. We want to, whatever kind of life He wants us to live, we're going to follow you. But let me ask, how does that work exactly? How do we follow Jesus? Because as you read through the Gospels, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and then it says He rose again, and then He ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. So how can we follow Him if he's at the right hand of the Father? Father, sometimes it just feels, as we pray, like God is so distant. But friends, He is not Look at what Jesus said to his disciples the night before he went to the cross, John chapter 14. Jesus said to his followers, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Jump to verse 25. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Number three, when seeking God's direction in prayer, God can guide us by his Holy Spirit. God is able to lead us and guide us by his Holy Spirit, who is, as John 14 says, with every follower of Jesus. You don't have to wonder, is the Spirit with me? If you're a believer, if you've given your life to him, he is with you. And more specifically, he is within every follower of Jesus. Now, I want you to slow down and notice the term Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, both in verse 16 and 26. In the NIV, it uses the word the counselor. Now, sometimes in other translations, they translate this word as the advocate or the helper or the comforter. The Greek word that's used here is actually this one right here, parakletos. Parakletos. This is a compound word. It comes from two words, kaleo, which means to call, and para, which means beside or next to. So literally, he says, this is the one who has been called right at your side. He is right there with you, next to you. Friends, isn't that good news? That by his Holy Spirit, Jesus, this is the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus is with every single Christian, no matter where we go, no matter what we face, no matter the hurt, the hardship, the joy, the wonder, he is never distant. He is always near, right next to us, shoulder to shoulder, just touching our shoulders side by side, no matter what we face. That's good news, amen? And by the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit who's with us, Jesus can lead us. This says this in lots of places in the New Testament, like Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So again, everyone who is a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit right there with us, and he is leading us through this life if we're willing to listen and follow him. But guys, let me slow down for a moment. Do not miss the destination. It says right here where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. Where is he leading us? It says right here, he's leading us away from sinfulness, away from selfishness, and into a life of holiness. Go back and reread Philippians chapter 1. We just read a second ago. He wants to lead us to a life where we are transformed to a fruitful life, to become more and more like our Savior every single day. That's the journey. I really like how Dallas Willard puts it. He says, "The aim of the Christian life is not to try to do what Jesus said. We want to become the kind of people who do what Jesus said without having to think about it." And so, church, the Holy Spirit is always right there in us and at our side leading us. And so, let me try to take that principle from Scripture and narrow it down and say, okay, what does that look like specifically when it comes to this subject of decision making? And so I will warn you up front as we get into this, I might step on some toes this morning. And so this is one of those areas that we're all in agreement. Yeah, Scripture says Jesus is with us and the Holy Spirit can guide us, but what does that look like exactly? And so I might step on some toes on this side of the issue, and then I'll come over here and I'll step on some toes on this side of the issue, but I'm going to do my very best to follow what Scripture clearly teaches. And if you have some hang-ups, you know, please hear my heart, give me some grace, and I'd love to meet with you one-on-one after the service if you still have some big questions about this topic. Okay, so having said that, I am in agreement with a number of other pastors and theologians that would say that God can lead us through what some might call his still small voice. Okay, that still small voice. What do we mean by that? Well, this phrase comes from a story in the Old Testament of Elijah, the prophet. So if you remember the story, Elijah, at one point, he was on the run. The Jezebel and Ahab, they were going to kill him. And so he went into hiding. He left Israel. He went down into the desert all the way to Mount Sinai. And he's hiding out on Mount Sinai, and he's praying, "Oh God, I need your help." And all of a sudden, while he's praying, it says there is this mighty rushing wind just shaking everything. But then it says, but God wasn't in the wind. And then it says there's this terrifying earthquake, and it's just trembling, and it just seems like everything's about to fall apart, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And it says then there's this consuming, raging, terrifying fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But then, if you remember the story, Elijah could hear this gentle whisper, and that was the voice of God. Now again, just to be clear, I have never in my life heard an audible voice when God is trying to tell me what to do. And the pastors and theologians that I trust and I read, they would say the same. That's not their experience. That would be extremely rare. I'm not saying it's not impossible. I'm just saying it's very unusual. Because we see God doesn't usually speak to us through fire and earthquakes and, you know, like writing in the sky, "Do this, William." I kind of prefer that. But that's not usually how he guides us. Instead, other Christians, you know, we have this kind of still small voice. Now other Christians use different terminology for this, that kind of inner voice. So some people might say, "Well, I had an impression," or "I had a prompting of the Spirit," or "I just felt like God was nudging me," or "I just kind of had this sense in my heart that this is where God was leading me." A generation ago of pastors, they used to use the phrase, "I had a check in my spirit about this kind of thing." But it's just kind of that inner voice prompting us, saying, "This is what I think God is calling me to do. This is what clearly God is saying. I need to follow him on this." Now listen carefully as I'm moving down this, okay? A word of caution that we need to take. This is not the primary, preferred, or normal way that we hear God's voice. I really like the wisdom of Charles Spurgeon. He preached a sermon on this very subject, and I really love what he said. He says this: "There are occasionally impressions of the Holy Spirit which guide men where no other guidance could have answered in the end." And as he's talking about this in this sermon of his, he says that he knows of this Quaker that in the middle of the night, he felt this just, he woke up in the middle of the night and just felt this inner prompting, "You need to go to your neighbor's house." And he's like, "Well, that's weird. It's the middle of the night. I'm not going to do that." But he just kept having this unshakable feeling, "You need to go check on your neighbor." So he got up and he went out in the cold and went to the other farm, and he was able to show up just in time to prevent his neighbor from taking his own life. And so Charles Spurgeon tells this story, and he's like, "I believe that story's true. Sometimes that's what God does." Spurgeon goes on. He says, "I have been the subject of such impressions myself and have seen very singular results from them." He says, "Hey, I've been there. I've experienced the prompting of the Holy Spirit." But then he has some caution. He says, "But to live by impressions alone is oftentimes to live the life of a fool. Not by impressions, but that which is in this book must always guide you. That rule of life, the written word of God, we ought to study and obey." And so, again, as I read this, I'm like, yes, that's it. That matches my heart on this whole subject. That yes, the Holy Spirit can lead us by his still small voice, that nudging. But that is not the primary thing, Spurgeon says, that orders and directs and guides my life. He says, "I live by this book, the living word of God." And again, this matches the teaching of guys like Dallas Willard. Willard said, 90% of God speaking to us comes from reading the scriptures. Now, friends, if you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, "Just reading the Bible? That sounds boring. That sounds very dry. Like, really? That's it? That's how God speaks to us? I don't know." Friends, if you think reading the Bible is dry and boring, may I humbly suggest that maybe you're reading it wrong. Guys, this is the unchanging word of God. It is the revealed will of the Almighty Creator of the universe. Friends, these words are good and true. It is living and active. It is God-breathed. That means the Spirit of the living God is in every single word. And by His word alone can we know of who He is. By His word alone can we know His purpose and His destiny. By His word alone can we know of His love and His grace and His glory and His power and His salvation. Man, we gotta love this book. Okay, having said all that, that's something I'm kind of excited about. Having said all that, though, let me circle back to the question at hand. Okay, so we believe that, but what happens? We're in a situation and we pray a prayer. God, help me to know what to do. I've got a decision to make. Help me to know what to do. I'm guessing 100% of us in this room have prayed that prayer. God, I don't know what to do. Help me know what to do. So when we pray that prayer, afterward, we start to have this thought. Okay, so maybe we think, well, I think God wants me to do this. Or maybe we say, well, I feel kind of like God's trying to tell me I should do this. Now, first of all, I want to say that may very well be the answer to your prayer. That might be God giving you insight and wisdom. And so that might be the thing. But I don't know about you. When we say, I think and I feel, there have been times that I've been wrong, believe it or not. There have been times that I've had thoughts in my head and I found out later, no, that was a bad thought. No, I was totally wrong. So I gotta be careful when I say, I think this or feel this. Man, I have a feeling about, I feel this. Man, we gotta be careful when we base our life and make huge decisions on how I feel in the moment, because emotions can shift and change. Man, I can have a burrito for lunch and it'll change my feelings. And so in that moment, again, we've been praying about it and we're like, I think it might be this. I feel it might be this. In that moment, we need to ask this vitally important question. Every Christian needs to become very familiar with this question. How do I know if it's Jesus's voice or is this just like a random thought in my head? How do I know? This is so huge. Actually, just this week, somebody asked one of our pastors, you know, how do I know? Is this God's voice leading me or is this just a random thought? And he was like, oh, I can't wait for you to hear the message on Sunday. It's going to be good. Is it my imagination? Is this just my selfishness? Is this my emotions? Is this my fear talking? Is this my anger talking? Is this like some kind of, maybe like a lie from the enemy or something? How do we know? Well, friends, here's the good news. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Jesus said, when a shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus goes on, he says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Okay, so quick pop quiz. How many of you think this morning that if I was blindfolded, do you think I'd be able to recognize the voice of my wife, Amber? You think so? I bet even if you had like 500 people and they all came and spoke to me, 500 people, I guess, I bet I could pretty easily pick out which one of those 500 people was my wife. Even if you had like an AI-generated tool, it's kind of scary what AI can do, isn't it? And you use this app to like imitate my wife's voice and it sounded just like her. I'm guessing after about 2 minutes, I could tell whether that's really my wife or not, because the AI would say something like, oh honey, I think on our upcoming vacation, we should upgrade to business class because it's only money. I'd be like, who are you? You're not my wife. She would never say that. And so, again, why is that? How can I be so confident? Well, it's because I've been hanging around this girl for 27 years. For 27 years, we've had conversations, and I've been listening to her voice. Not only can I recognize the pitch and the tone and the kind of resonance of my wife's voice, but I know her heart. I know, so many times before she says a word, I kind of know how she's going to feel about what she's going to think about this subject. Amber wouldn't say that. And so in a similar way, there on your notes page, I've listed out 6 different things, and so that's A through F there on the note page, to try to help us discern, okay? So this is kind of, you might call it a discernment grid, to try to figure out, is this thought that's in my head, is this maybe the voice of Jesus, or is this just a random thought? So here we go. First and most important on this list, and really all the others flow out of this one, letter A, is this thought fully biblical? Does it line up with the whole counsel of God, the whole of Scripture? A.W. Tozer says it so well. The marvelous thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit is that he never leads us contrary to the clear, plain teaching of the Word of God. Again, Dallas Willard said, the voice of God conforms to the content of Scripture. Do you guys remember how Jesus described the Holy Spirit back in John 14? What did he say? He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And one of the things he's going to do is he's going to remind you of everything I've said to you. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is directly always linked to the ministry of Jesus. They're not separate. They work together. Always connected. And he's reminding us, here's what Jesus said. He's reminding us, here's what Scripture says. And so very often, what the Holy Spirit does is, in the moment, he will remind us of a verse, a Bible verse that we've learned years ago, and all of a sudden, it will come to mind in when we need it. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we want to ignore it. But there it is. He helps us remember. And so the way we get to know the voice of the Good Shepherd is the exact same way I got to know the voice of my wonderful wife, by listening carefully over time. Listening carefully over time. And so, again, his voice flows out of his word. So, friends, if his voice is in his word, what do I need to do? I need to read the Bible regularly. And not only read it, but I need to study it. I need to meditate on or contemplate it. I need to be memorizing parts of it. I need to be listening to the word preached and explained. I need to be discussing it in a small group. I need to just be surrounding myself with the Word of God. And when I do so, this is what builds my personal relationship with Christ. And the Holy Spirit's ministry in my life just flows out of my familiarity with His Word. I'm like, I know that voice. I've heard that voice. Letter B, when I'm trying to recognize, is this God's voice? Here's another question I ask myself. Is it convicting? Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit later on in John 16. He says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, friends, don't misunderstand. The Spirit does not bring condemnation. It's not that hopeless guilt of despair, you know, that feeling of I'm just worthless, I'm unredeemable. That is not from God. But what happens is sometimes we are about to do something we know is wrong. We know is sinful. We know better. Your mama taught you better. And in that moment, there's like this inner voice that says, stop! Don't do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes, you know, you're reading along in the Bible, or maybe you're listening to a message and the preacher is kind of explaining something in Scripture. And again, you have that click moment, you have that aha moment, and you realize, oh man, the way I've been living my life is contrary to God's plan for my life. And you realize, I need to repent. I need to turn away from that life, and I need to start following God. Again, That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to him in that moment. Third, does it challenge me to love and serve others. Now, my personal inner voice, the scripture calls it my flesh, that personal inner voice usually wants to do things that benefit me, that make me comfortable, that make me look good. And so when I feel that nudge to get out of my comfort zone, you know, when I see someone and they're all alone and I just kind of got that nudge, you should go over and smile and introduce yourself and encourage that person. And I get that nudge, I should help someone, I should love someone, I should encourage someone, I should serve someone. That's probably not from me. It's a pretty safe bet to say that's probably the Good Shepherd's still small voice nudging me to love and serve. Letter D, I ask the question, does this glorify God and expand his kingdom? Does this draw attention to me? Does this show everybody else, you know, look at me, look how good I am, look how important I am, look how spiritual I am? Is this all about my glory or is this about God's glory? I love Dr. Jackson last Sunday. He preached from Acts 1:8 and he was talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ to the very ends of the earth, to spread the gospel all throughout the earth. Guys, this is why the Spirit was sent. This is his mission. This is what he's all about. And so if I feel that inner impression that I need to open my mouth and share my faith, that I need to go somewhere and share the gospel, again, I would assume that's probably the Spirit speaking because that's what the Spirit is all about. Fifth, is it clear and weighty? Now, again, I wouldn't divorce this idea from all the rest of them. You got to keep this in context. But is it clear and weighty? Now, don't take my word for it. Read the Bible for yourself. You should never just assume what I say is right. Read the Bible for yourself. But when God speaks to people in Scripture, the message is always clear. When someone in the Bible hears from God, they're not saying like, God, what was that? They know exactly what God told them to do. They can't shake it. It's just a matter of, am I going to obey or not? So for example, one of the times I felt this so clearly in my life was when I was 17 years old. And we had just gotten back from a two-week mission trip. And we had the opportunity to share in church about the mission trip. And this was actually the very first time I ever spoke in church, and it ended up being the beginning of my journey of my call to ministry. And I just remember being backstage in New Life Wesleyan in Gillette and in the choir room, and the youth pastor said, hey, does anyone want to share about the mission trip? And I just so clearly felt like God was saying in that inner voice, that's you, William. It was like a thump on the back of the head, unmistakable, like raise your hand and say yes. Clear and unshakable. And then the final tool I would use to try to figure out, is this God's voice leading me or is this just like my own thoughts? Is this one right here. Is it confirmed by strong, wise, mature Christians? Kind of like what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. So again, to give you another example, let's say I'm trying to figure out what to do with my life and I've been praying about it and I think to myself, you know, I think God has designed me to be a professional singer. That's what I should do with my life. I'm going to go to Nashville and start a career as a singer. And so what I do is I then talk to some other people about this. I go to my friends and my parents and the worship pastor at my church and I say, I think God wants me to be a singer. And they look at me and they go, well, we love you, and God has gifted you, and God's got a plan for your life, but I think he's given you other gifts. They try to lovingly steer me and say, I'm not so sure. Maybe you should pray again. But friends, that's a gift. And this is one of the reasons why the Christian life is meant to be lived in community. You know, if we feel like, I think God is leading me this way, we bring it to our fellow Christian friends, and they can help us find that right path. We're here to help each other on the journey of faith. Now again, there might be someone here this morning and you're thinking, well, Pastor William, why do you got to have all these guidelines and boundaries and rules about recognizing the leading of the Holy Spirit? What's wrong with you, man? Don't you have faith? You should just take everything by faith. Well, I believe I have what I like to call a sanctified skepticism. A sanctified skepticism. Why do I have that? Because God's word tells me to. Like in 1 John chapter 4, it says this: "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Don't just assume everything is right and true, but instead test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Here's why: because many, not one, not a couple, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, this isn't rare. This isn't, oh, this might happen one time in your life. No, no, no. It says there will be many false prophets, many false prophecies. And so, as I'm wrapping things up this morning, number four, every follower of Jesus needs discernment. Oh, the church, especially the 21st century church, we need to rediscover discernment. To quote an old professor of mine, we should be open-minded, but don't be so open-minded your brains fall out. Every single follower of Jesus needs to develop strong, mature discernment instincts. Now, this could and probably should be a whole sermon all on its own, and I cut most of it out, so here's the 1 minute version, 2 minute version. All throughout the Bible, it warns us about this. In fact, did you know, in 26 of the 27 books of the New Testament, in 26 of the 27 books, it warns, look out, there are false messages out there. And so what happens is we see this message, and I'm going to put this on the live stream. So if you want to look, I mean, you could snap a picture of it, or you can go back. I'm not going to go through all these passages here, but you can get on the live stream later, and I encourage you to read this for yourself. But what you're going to see is that Jesus and the Apostle Paul and Simon Peter and the Apostle John, all of us, they warn us so clearly and loudly, watch out. There are false prophecies and false messages from God out there. They're not true. They're false. And so, guys, here's the deal. If I'm driving late at night and it's foggy out and I'm going on this curvy road that I've never been on before, and as I'm driving, all of a sudden I see a danger sign, and not just one danger sign, but 26 danger signs, I should probably pay attention to that. I don't just look at those danger signs and say, ah, I know what I'm doing, forget that. No, I need to be cautious. I need to slow down. I need to be careful and take those warnings seriously. And so again, man, in 21st century internet culture, this is so important for the church today, because when someone says, oh, I heard from God, or I had a prophetic vision, or I had a dream or something, or I'm watching this preacher on YouTube, just because it says Bishop so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so, I still, and man, it sounds convincing what they're saying, but no, 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 I don't just assume what they're saying is true. I slow down and I say, I'm going to carefully weigh that. I'm going to run it through my discernment grid first that I just laid out for you this morning. Whew. It is past time for me to quit, and I've been talking too fast and my voice is gone, and we're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But before we do, I want to try to end on a positive note here. So let me circle back to the beginning of this message. Friends, this is good news. The Good Shepherd is with us. We are not alone. He is always with us on this road, side by side. And when we're on the mountains and things are awesome and everything's beautiful and wonderful and life is so good, we don't have to shout out at God like a long ways away. He's right here. We can say, God, that's so good. You make good stuff. And at the same time, when we're down in the valley and things are so difficult and so dark and we don't know how we're going to make it, we're like, God, I don't have the strength to keep going. I don't know which way to go. Again, he's not distant. He is right here, side by side. He's like, I got this. I got you. Beloved, the Good Shepherd is with us. And when we've got that, we come to that fork in the road, we can turn to our Good Shepherd in prayer, and he will lead us down that narrow path toward life if we have learned to recognize and follow the Good Shepherd's voice. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this message is filled with such unbelievably good news and also a very clear warning. And so, Lord, I pray that as followers of you, we would embrace both. And on the one hand, Lord, I pray that we would not ignore the Holy Spirit. God, he is with us. He is a gift you've given us, and he is right there with us. And Lord, we are so thankful that we don't do this alone. But Lord, by your Spirit, you want to give us strength. By your Spirit, you want to give us guidance and grace, and you can help us through anything. You're never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, and that is by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for that amazing gift. But Lord, at the same time, I pray that you would give us good discernment. So that as we pray and as we look to try to figure out, Lord, where are you leading us? That we can instantly recognize that's my Savior's voice or that's a stranger's voice. And that instead we would turn to and follow you, Jesus. We love you and we pray these things in your name. And all God's people agreed together and said,